Did you shave this morning?
Yes.
What? Oh. Can everyone see what we're talking about?
It's a different world.
I know, we talked about this last night when I was getting my scruff, and I was like, man, I've got to get this shaved. I thought of Austin right away. I was like, how does he do this? This is so irritating. All right.
That's the same way you do it on top of your head.
It doesn't get under my chin on top of my head. Let's pray real quick before we get too sidetracked with facial hair. God, we do thank you for the gift of facial hair. No, of marriage. We bless you. We thank you for the differences of the genders. We thank you for your creative design, your intelligence, your love, how you seem to almost have split your image into separate parts so that we would long for each other. I ask, God, that you would enlighten us, that you would guide us as we speak, as we talk and interact. And I pray for all the classes, Lord, that Jesus would be exalted. Be with those who can't make it today, and let them be encouraged by the truth of who you are in their life. We ask all this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, my wife's already informed me that she'll be late, if coming at all. And that does have something to do with personality differences. But I'm not going to talk about that just now. Week two, we're going to jump in, as you can see, with personality differences. And I got a lot of content at the front end, and I'm going to try to run through it almost as quickly as I can. Some of it will involve your interaction. But for this first part, just try to keep up. So some of our personality is shaped by culture. In the West, we're more blunt and honest. In the East, they're more subtle. So you know, that comes into it. Some of it is shaped by modeling. And by modeling, I mean not only just what you've seen around you, but what you consider normal. Some of our personality is probably attributable to birth order. Firstborns tend to be go-getters with better grades. The babies tend to be, well, that's not. Well, what are babies like? Yeah, they tend to be doted on, so they're pretty sure that they're loved. Middle children are confused and sometimes peacemakers. I'm a middle child, so you can see how I'm so peaceable and charitable and kind and friendly. Except when I'm not. All right. And a lot of our personality traits are actually genetic. I mean, you've seen this. The apple doesn't fall from the tree. Somebody saw me joking around one time and said, "You're more like your dad than he is." That really confused me. So nature, grace, chance, and choice all come into play to make us the personality that we are. And I would say we're not unchanging. We're not unchangeable. We're malleable in some ways. And yet, if you ask your kindergarten teacher to write a profile of what they think of you, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years later, I think you'd chuckle and say, "That's so true." Still, it's very interesting. All right, a little bit here. Psalm 139. "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." All I'm simply pointing out here is God designed each of us uniquely. I'll just read it off my screen here. God designed each of us lovingly and carefully and intentionally and has an intimate knowledge of each moment of our existence. We should appreciate God's unique design of us and our spouse or person you're dating. We are different by design. Any comments you guys want to make on that verse or passage? I agree, he says.
It's a good basis for our thinking today.
Okay, Genesis 40, verses 20 through 22. You might not see the connection right away here. Adah gave birth to Jabal, who was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all who play the harp and the flute. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was named... Okay, so my point is simply this. It's obvious when you look around that certain gifts, certain abilities, certain traits run in families, right? The Embletons can sing. They're good with music, right? Some other families are really good with their words. The Yoders, like Lamar and Kevin, I'm drawing a blank here. Lamar and Kevin and Kurt. There we go. That worked. If those guys are not going to pick a fight, they're gentle and loving. They just have such a that stuff runs in family. If you can't see that some of these personality issues are genetic, you're not looking very closely. All right. I don't understand what he's trying to say. I'm going to shorten this up here. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 is drawing the metaphor of the church as a body, and he basically says to the parts of the body, don't think you're all that or that you're not important. Either one of those is wrong. You're different by design, and you need each other. So he says, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell? And then he goes down, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Okay. And then he basically says, this is why the different parts need to honor each other. So, the differences in personality, gifting, and skill in the body, in the church, they're to be valued, not despised. I'm arguing that the same attitude of valuing difference should come into the marriage. We shouldn't tolerate differences. That's shooting way too low, and it's not biblical. We're supposed to celebrate differences. God does. He celebrates difference. Actually, I don't think tolerance is a virtue. I think it's aiming way too low. We're supposed to actually love, not just tolerate. Let's see, did I skip this one? Similar kind of a thing. I'm not going to read it here, but just to say, Paul emphasizes unity in Jesus and diversity in gifts. And I think in marriage the same thing is true. You have everyone growing up into Jesus. And as everyone is growing up into Jesus, you're actually growing closer together. Because he's a focal point on the horizon, so no matter where you are, as you're headed toward him, you have to be headed toward each other. Then I say here, verses 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So I just find it interesting. It's a side point. Grieving of the Holy Spirit seems to be in speaking of unkind words to each other. And in marriage, you can grieve the Holy Spirit in the way you speak to your spouse. And Peter says that's how we hinder our prayers as husbands oftentimes, so we shouldn't try not to do that.
Something to say? Comment? Well, I was just thinking that I think really what we're saying is that family and marriage is probably one of the very first areas where we apply the principles of the gospel. Apply the gospel. A lot of times we tend to put it out there somewhere, but really, if it doesn't work in our marriages, must be something wrong with it. That's the first place we should try to. Maybe something wrong with the way we're using it. Yeah, we should. That's one of the first places we apply it.
Your spouse is your first neighbor in love your neighbor as yourself. You know, the true test of my discipleship is how I treat my wife and kids. Those closest to me get to see the worst me. You know. It's much easier to be nice to people on the margin than it is for me to be nice to the people who have to love me anyway.
And that we rub shoulders with every day. People that we see once in a while, it's easier to be nice to most of them.
And the people who throw their clothes by the bed. Much. These are some categories for you here. Now, here's where you're going to get involved. If you have a pen and pencil, you can write this down. If not, I guess I suppose I could email it to you. It would be fascinating, I think, for the two of you, if you're here together, to compare your personality types. Hey, look, there's my wife. Compare your personality types. Sometimes these kind of rubrics, these categories. Although that you might not agree with all the different conclusions, you might even totally disagree with what the test tells you. I think you guys took a test and said, that's not us at all. But it got you talking. It got you talking about the differences in how you process information and how you make decisions and all that, and it helps you to understand some of the conflicts you have. All right, let's get into it. As we're doing this, I want you to figure out where you are and where your significant other is. Extroverts often have high energy, introverts, quiet energy. Extroverts talk more than listen, introverts listen more than talk. The extrovert thinks out loud, introvert thinks quietly inside my head. Extrovert act, then think, introvert think, probably for a while, then act. Extroverts like to be around people a lot, they're energized by people. Introverts actually are energized by being alone, they feel comfortable alone. Extroverts, number six, prefer to be in a public role. Introverts prefer to kind of work behind the scenes. Have you placed yourself yet? Extroverts can sometimes be easily distracted because there's got such an active thing going on here in their brain. Introverts have good powers of concentration. They seem more settled. Extroverts prefer to do lots of things at once, and introverts prefer to focus on one thing at a time. Extroverts are often outgoing and enthusiastic, and introverts are self-contained and reserved. Can you locate yourself? Who here is an extrovert? You're my people. You're me. Who here is an introvert? Well, we're all a mixture. We're all a mixture. But the issue is to try to figure out which way you lean. Nobody's a pure anything on these. But just figure out where you lean. Because like I said, the point of this isn't to give you a label. The point of this is to be helpful in how you assess the differences. Because one of the main points that I want you to get out of this is different isn't bad, it's just different. But a lot of the conflict that we have in our lives is because we really believe there is a right way to do things, my way. And that's where we get into trouble. But just appreciating how differently we think can help us. Go ahead.
And you can change at times, too. You change depending on what kind of work you do. Sometimes you might tend to be more extrovert. And later on in life, or you can tend to be more introvert. So your needs sort of determine which way you're going to be.
For sure. Yeah, and in our case here, taking this test, you it places you on a continuum between these two extremes. And actually, I'm just a little bit on the introvert side of middle, and she's just a little bit on the extrovert side. So we aren't all that different in that regard. But
there's gradations.
Yeah.
There's extreme extrovert. There's some people right. I'm a weird balance. Like after church, I need to be alone. My wife sometimes will say, "I need to talk to you," and I'm like, "My words are all used up. I got to recharge. I need to be alone."
Right. Yeah. But if I'm alone all by myself, then I find I need to get out with some people sometimes to get a bit of energy. But then I need to pull back again to kind of process all that. So that's the kind of thing that we're dealing with.
And knowing how your spouse is energized, what restores them and what drains them will help you understand maybe how to take their words or their silence in a given moment. Maybe. Good luck. Sensors and intuitives. I'll just read the whole list. Sensors focus on details and specifics. They want practical solutions. They notice details. They remember facts. They're pragmatic. They see what is. They live in the here and the now. They trust actual experience. They like to use established skills. They like step-by-step instructions, and they work at a steady pace. The word that I'm getting here is detailed, objective, practical, right? Intuitives focus on the big picture and the possibilities. They admire creative ideas. They're brainstormers. They think about the future. They notice anything new or different. They're inventive. They see what could be. See, the possibility thinking. They think about future implications. They trust their gut instincts. They prefer to learn new skills. They like to figure things out for themselves. They work in bursts of energy. I would say intuitives probably don't read the instruction manual. And sensors.
Why not? It's right there.
Study the manual first. Lay out the parts that came in the box in an organized fashion.
And count them.
Count them. Look at them. and make sure they're in a straight line. If they're not, meanwhile, the intuitive is halfway through failing the first time.
He'll come back to ask for help later.
I know he will. That's because I've learned to look at the instructions because I am an intuitive. All right, which of you can, and again, this is not absolute, but who's a sensor? Who's a detailed plan? Oh, wow. Intuitives. Possibility and intuition. Yeah, me too. But like we've been saying, you can be a combination of these things. Because I'm an intuitive, I can often resist making applications in my messages, in my sermons, because I don't want to box in the point of my message to some simple, concrete activity that you do three times a week. I'm more interested in inspiring you. Part of that has to do with the fact that I'm an intuitive and not a sensor, generally. But as you can see, because I made these PowerPoints and I do this stuff all the time, I care about details.
So when you don't do that, the sensors feel a little uncertain about where's this guy going with this.
So I try.
So I looked at this PowerPoint ahead of time and I thought, he hasn't even defined what personality is.
You want to go ahead and define it?
No, I'm still not clear on that. But anyway, we talked about it. Well, we'll get to that. I'm still processing that one.
And as a good intuitive, my attitude is context, they'll get it. If you paint a wide enough picture, they'll see it. You know, how many times you got to run around the barn before you know what it is, you know? Anyway, all right. 4 or 5. How do you decide or come to conclusions? Thinkers. I'm going to go back to back and forth again. That made me more happy. Thinkers often make decisions objectively. Feelers decide based on their values and feelings. Thinkers appear cool and reserved. Feelers appear warm and friendly. Thinkers are most convinced by rational arguments, whereas feelers are most convinced by, obviously, how they feel. It seems obvious. Thinkers are honest and direct. Now, feelers are diplomatic and tactful. It doesn't say they're dishonest. They're diplomatic and tactful. And the thinkers in the room said, no, they're just dishonest. No, they're diplomatic and tactful, unless, of course, we're talking about like lying on their taxes. Or there's really, do you have to say, how do I look in this dress? Fat? I mean, really? No, that's not a lie. That's just loving and diplomatic and tactful. How do I look? You don't look so good. That's not good. Guys, that's not... No, thinkers, become feelers on that one. All right. Thinkers don't take things too personally, whereas feelers are quick to take things personally because they're tuned into that. Thinkers tend to see the flaws and, I would say, point them out, and feelers are quick to compliment others. Thinkers are motivated by achievement, and feelers are motivated by appreciation. You see that? I mean, do you see what those differences are valuing? One's valuing the thing itself, and another one is valuing the social aspect of the thing. Thinkers argue and debate issues for fun. It's Floyd Mass, yeah. Feelers often avoid arguments and conflicts. They're stressed out by that stuff. You know, so when you come to prayer meeting and Floyd and Tim are disagreeing about something, the feeler is like, I ain't coming back to prayer meeting. That was horrible. So which one are you? Who's a thinker?
I'm kind of in between on this one.
Yeah. I can tell you I'm in between because I point out your flaws and then compliment you.
Some of that I think is learned as well. You know, we
Well, but I love you. I think, Matt, I think you're a thinker. Is that right? Yeah. Because you just call it like you see it. And you don't see the point in getting in a huff about it. I could see that. But it's not from your mom, is it?
Or learned. It can be learned, too.
No, it's genetic. Because he could have learned the other. Isn't this fun? Who's a feeler? Yeah, I can see that with Courtney. I can see that. Again, not bad, different. What kind of environment makes you the most comfortable? Judgers are, this seems like a bad, you're not supposed to judge. Why are they called judgers? Well, this wasn't made by people who were trying to teach in church. So, judges often make most decisions pretty easily. They make decisions like that, right? Perceivers, they get log jammed. Judges are serious and conventional. Why break it? It's already been established. Perceivers are playful and unconventional. Why not? Let's try. Judges pay attention to time and are prompt, which means they're not from our church. Perceivers are less aware of time and tend to run late. Now, there's a reason they run late, and it's not because they don't care about being there. I'm not sure what it is, but there's a reason. Judges often... They prefer to finish the project. Even when their spouse is nagging on them to get away from the computer, you can't figure it out. And I say, I will figure this out if it kills me. It hasn't killed me yet.
If it makes me late for church.
If it makes me late for church. No, I won't be late. No, I will. I can't even know where I lost myself. Where are we at? Oh, yeah, work first, less aware of time, run late. Okay, prefer to start projects. Perceivers, they're starters. They're creative. They're like, okay, we can do this, we can do this, we can do that. They got a bunch of unfinished things on their desk, Richard. And Tim, I'm a brainstorm. I got notebooks all over the place on my desk. And every once in a while, I'll just throw them away. Just because I feel better. I feel better. All right. Work first, judges work first, then play later. Perceivers play first, then work later. Judges want things decided. Oh, man, wow. You come out of an elders meeting and you say, what did we even decide? If you're a judger. If you're a perceiver, you say, I can't believe we voted. It was way too early to vote. They want to keep their options open. Get yourself up here. What are you doing back there? Wearing your orange shirt. I can see you. Your hoop earrings back there. There you go. Are you a perceiver? Actually, you are a perceiver. We'll go to a restaurant. Number one, difficulty making decisions. I won't even have given a thought to what I'm going to order. The waitress shows up, and I'm like, say something. Usually meat, you know. Blunk. And Carrie will be like, she'll say something, and the waitress will leave, and then she'll change her mind and call her back. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, you're calling. This so stresses me out. And then takes the first bite of my food every time.
Tasted good.
All right. Judges see the need for rules, and perceivers question the need for rules. Man, I'm a perceiver on that one. Judges like to make plans and stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. That's not what we decided. This is not what we decided. Hello, anybody? I'm so stressed out. This is not what we decided. We said at 9 o'clock we were going to go hike on that trail, and we didn't do it. My vacation is being ruined. Perceivers like to keep the plans flexible. Sure, let's make a plan that involves, like, we're going to sleep, and then we're going to eat some food and have some activities. You know? Judgers find comfort in schedules. Perceivers want the freedom to be spontaneous. Who's a judger? Okay. Who's a perceiver? That's fun. Isn't this fun? Okay, as I read through these lists, did it dawn on you how two people who are very different from each other might get into some disagreements? About little things that aren't really that big a deal. You know? Little things like, do you put fuel in the gas tank when it's at a fourth a tank or when you're 1 mile from walking? Who gets stressed out if the gas tank is under a quarter tank? I just get so stressed out. It's all I think about while I'm in the car. I can't even. This one is like, I know how to do this. I know these gas tanks. And I'm like, you know, because you've pushed them to the limit and had to walk like 6 times. You shouldn't know.
Then, well, just put gas in it and it'll solve the whole problem.
It's on the yellow. It's on the yellow. It's on the yellow line. Oh, but this one goes beyond the yellow. How would you know that unless you've been... All right. And this is why we have to remember, it's not, different isn't bad, unless it gets people killed. It's just different most of the time. Most of the time. I had a buddy who I worked for who was a bricklayer. And he said, Tim, there is a right way to do things. He's actually wrong, but that says a lot about his personality. All right. You guys ready? Joe and Gloria are going first. What aspects of your own personality do you view as strengths, and what aspects of your own personality do you view as weaknesses here? Just talking about yourself first.
We talked about this a bit before we came up here. Over breakfast or sometime. One of the things that we thought about was that in some ways, I guess this is asking us personally what we view. But these qualities, in a sense, are like tools in a toolbox. I mean, a hammer has certain strengths in certain situations, and a screwdriver does too. But you don't really confuse the two. There are people who probably try to. But if you need to drive a nail, you know, a hammer's a wonderful thing to have if you want it, but a screwdriver won't help you very much. I'm dodging. Yeah. Okay. So that the things that are strengths depends on the situation. There are times. For me, I would consider my tendency to try to look at situations, get all the facts before I make a decision. You know, that is a strength, but then there are times that the decision has to be made immediately, and that really puts me out of my comfort zone. By the same way, Gloria will see a situation, she knows right what to do right away, and I'm saying, I'm not sure about that, and usually it comes around, that was the right thing to do. So it just depends. When you have time, it's a strength. When you don't have time, it's not a strength. So that would be one thing.
Okay, and I jump into situations. I'm pretty confident of decisions immediately. So when he hesitates to make a decision about thing that creates, a conflict of how do we make this decision together? Of course, the weakness then of that is that sometimes I will jump into a situation way too quickly and not think through all the aspects of what needs to be considered, and maybe even go ahead of him in making decisions and figuring he's, going to come along when that is not the role that I should have played. So I think that's the main area of conflict probably that we've had to work with in our differences.
Yeah. We're actually quite similar on this particular test, so... I think it makes life a little easier many times. Yeah, it does.
This is going to sound wrong. I like that I'm a talker. I enjoy that. I enjoy talking with people. I love that. But where that becomes a weakness is saying things that haven't been very well thought out first. That's a problem. Maybe I'm the only one here.
uh,
Running ahead of my wife in making decisions is also something that occasionally will. We talked about that. Didn't we talked about it? And you said, no, we didn't. You started to talk about it, and then, you know. And then I decided at some point without telling her, what have you. I'm being a little superficial here. I really wanted to get into my deep sins at this point.
I didn't see these questions before, so I don't feel quite as prepared.
And yet I emailed them to these people. See, this kind of tells you something about me on that. This is great.
I print them out. I would say I view one aspect maybe I'm laid back. Yeah. I'm flexible, stuff happens. I go with it. That could be a weakness also because I'm late. I'm messy. Whatever else you can put in there. So.
We were just discussing this morning the differences in our children too, and how that plays itself out. Maybe I shouldn't say which one, but yeah, one of our children. Really has a problem going ahead and making a decision on how to do things, and that's just simply a personality thing. Whereas three of our other children are just go-getters the whole way, you know, and just push and make decisions very easily. But you know, that creates different problems for them.
Let's move on. Oh, we didn't. Okay. We did a little bit of weaknesses. That's fun. All right, now we're getting to the real meat here. What do you appreciate about your spouse's personality? Let me start this time. This isn't going to sound like something I appreciate, but we're going to get there. One day, Carrie had lost the van keys, and I was at church, actually at a fellowship meal kind of a thing, and I was in a mood because of it. Something about the kids, so forth. So she had missed church and then couldn't find the van keys to even make it to the fellowship meal. Somebody was sick. I don't even remember the details, but I do remember the emotion. I was angry and frustrated because it seems like the keys shouldn't get lost that many times in one lifetime. And I was grumbling. And Dennis Yatouzis cornered me and said, Tim? Yeah? Listen to me. You love your wife, don't you? I said, yes. You like her just how she is, don't you? I'm thinking, where was he going with this? Yeah? If she wouldn't be the woman who loses keys, she wouldn't be the wife you're in love with, would she? No? And something clicked in my brain. Honestly, for some reason, Dennis asking those questions, something clicked. And I began to realize that some of the things that I just... The stop and smell the roses, the joy de vivre, the joy of life, the photograph and document and breathe in the air and let's go take a walk and the easygoing enjoyment of the grace of God in ordinary things that she brings to my life is really refreshing. But that easygoing, don't worry about it kind of a motif is probably why the keys get lost as well. And I can't have this woman I love without having some keys lost from time to time. That doesn't really even sound like nearly as appreciative as...
I would say just why don't you buy a second set of keys? I mean,
we have a second set, and we've even had them like strapped underneath the vehicle, the body panel underneath, with like Velcro stuff, and then what do you do when you lose your two and the spare? I love you more. And Carrie's exceedingly wise and an amazing sounding board and thinks the best, and she's kind, and she loves people, and she's compassionate. And did I mention wise? I mean it. She's very wise. I get her opinions. I get her feedback. I respect her intensely.
I'm not good at thinking on the fly, but I appreciate, actually, I appreciate Tim's talking. I'm a listener. He's a talker. We work. It makes me feel loved when he talks to me. So, yes, you listen to me, and when I need to talk, you do. And I can't do on the fly. I'm sorry.
Plus, we need to basically, you need to say something quick, and then I need to conclude.
Okay. I think what compliments me in my aggressive type of personality is his easiness, his ability to lay back and just say, well, let's think this through. It really balances out what I would intuitively do automatically. He is a good balance for me to say, wait, let's think this through. Let's not work too fast on this. These things need some time, and that really helps me a lot.
And I think for me, I'd maybe just go the opposite. There are times you do need to do something, and I'd let this thing ride on forever, you know. But gotta get moving, and she helps me with that. Yeah, we're only on the second question, aren't we? But you go ahead.
Then we were gonna ask, where is there likely to be conflict or annoyance, which was gonna be extremely exciting and telling for you guys. Yeah, a little bit, yeah. What are some things that he or she does that cause you stress, and how have you engaged the issue? What I'll do is I'll email this to the church, and you guys who are couples can talk about these things for yourself, answer these questions for yourself. But you'll have to make a plan and stick to it to do that.
One of the important things that we discussed in preparing for this is the fact that you don't let these differences become irritations in your marriage. Because when you let them continue to be an irritation, that's when it builds up to the fact that we're not compatible. Yeah. We can't do this. I'm just overwhelmed by the other person's personality. That we made a bad mistake. That's a wrong decision. When you take care of choosing not to allow these things to become irritating to you, and working at them in whatever way you have to work at in order to make it work, either backing down on your own preferences, those kinds of things, that's what's important when you're talking about marriage.
And that gets into topics for other weeks, like if you don't feel loved, everything will be an irritation. If your love tank's empty, you're like a tire under intense pressure, the slightest bump's going to make you pop. That's it, guys. Sorry we didn't get further along. I'll email this stuff to you. Love you.